CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 408. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, you're a dog person now.
Yeah, apparently I'm a dog person. And if you had come to me, I don't know, 18 months ago, I would have told you I will never have a dog.
And now you have two.
With a high degree of confidence.
You have two dogs.
There are now two dogs in my house.
So are you a Jazz fan? Like the Utah Jazz?
I don't know where we're going with this. I'm not. Sure. What's I grew up cheering for the Jazz.
What's the Z?
But I'm not a big NBA guy now.
What's the Z names? So tell us the names of your dogs. We talked about your first dog, obviously, because the name is at least BYU related. I don't.
Well, he absolutely it's BYU related. So our first dog that we rescued a dog last January, and we named him Ziggy.
Who's an awesome dog, by the way. Fantastic
dog. He's a great dog. Great dog. And my oldest son actually calls him by his full name, which is Ezekiel. And so, yeah, so we got Ziggy. And then we last week, we're still in the trial period with this new dog. But we brought him home Friday. So far, things I'd say are going okay. And the kids voted, and they would like to name this dog Zeus.
Awesome.
So, but once you name it, like there's not much you can do, right? Like, I think we're gonna have a really hard time if this doesn't work out.
Yeah.
The kids would be like, you know, once you name it, you're kind of attached.
Well, you know, I am not a dog person. And that doesn't mean I dislike dogs. I'm fine with dogs. I just don't want one. I've been picking up somebody else's poop for 13 years now, and I'm not about to, when we finally get the little one potty trained. I'm not giving that up, man. I'm not looking back.
I would say that our poop cleanup has increased by more than 100%.
Yeah. So, related to that, actually not at all, is guess what movie I watched with the kids this weekend? Scared the crap out of a couple of my kids, by the way.
Hunger Games.
No, but that came up at the dinner table last night, or was it breakfast this morning? We eat so many meals together now, I'm not sure.
I have eaten more dinners with my children in last month than probably the previous 15 years combined.
Yeah, it's nuts. We talked about, do you remember I did this? Maybe you didn't see it, but it was on YouTube. I did a comedy routine at Land O'Lakes, and I did the Disney princesses dropped into the Hunger Games.
Yes, I think I do remember this.
My wife did not appreciate that I brought that up with our kids today. Mainly it came up because Snow White's an idiot.
It's a good bit.
And she would die. Yeah, it is good, but Snow White would die within like the first 5 seconds. Because somebody would say, come over here, I'll help you.
Eat these berries.
Yeah, eat these berries,
Snow White. They'll be fine.
They're delicious. So anyway, no, we didn't watch Hunger Games. We watched Willow.
Willow, you idiot.
Yeah, that's right. Willow is an amazing movie, and I was a little worried because I haven't seen it in probably like 10 years, maybe 15. And I was just sitting here like, what if it's not as good as I remember? It is as good as I remember. It's an amazing movie. It's fantastic. But it did scare my my 9-year-old and the 5-year-old a little bit.
Yeah, there's some scary stuff in that movie.
That old lady fight at the end is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. I swear, I think they based the fight between Gandalf and Saruman on that. We remember when they're in the tower and it's the two old dudes flipping each other around. I'm like, seeing this already. It was in Willow.
There's a peck here with an acorn pointed at me.
And by the way, Sorsha, remember Sorsha?
Mm-hmm.
She is, I was thinking, I've seen her in something recently. She plays a nun in season 3 of Daredevil.
Wow.
So, yeah. Interesting side note. All right. People don't care, Adam. Moving on. All right. So, a couple of housekeeping items per Keith Smith's repeated attempts, I do need to re-record my bit about the open mouth peck that we've been discussing. I will do that eventually. I don't know if it'll be this week. Work has been absolutely insane, and between that and the kids and other stuff, I haven't had the time to rewrite it out and practice it, because I'm not just going to do it cold. That's just not my thing. And then the other one is, when are you doing your dance thing? I forgot.
Never committed that.
That's true. I'm pretty sure our family, we've landed on doing Stand by R.E.M. I'm doing a social distancing dance. So I don't know when that'll happen either. But anyway, a couple things from the past. But Matt, it's time for the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
All right. So Darwin Lyons, this is his one of two entries into the tweet bag. We'll get to him later. He sent this one via email. You can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. He says, over under Tom Brady's Bucks win 7 games this year. Hashtag Tommy say it ain't so. This is a great way to lead off the tweet bag because people love Patriots fans being sad. They love it when we're sad. So this will be great. We have not talked about Tom to the Bucks, except you revealed it to me live on the air 2 weeks ago, which was
great.
Terrible. Terrible, as Charles Barkley might say. So Matt, I'm going to go with the over. I actually think the Bucks are going to win 10 or 11 games.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And I don't think it's a Tom Brady thing. I think they just have enough pieces there. And he'll be better than Jameis Winston. I mean, he's not going to throw 30 picks.
Listen, if you listen to Jameis Winston, he's elite if he can just get the picks under control. The rest of his numbers are elite.
Sure. Yeah.
And listen, it took the greatest quarterback of all time to replace him. So I think that says something.
There you go. There you go.
These are all paraphrased from actual Jameis Winston quotes.
Yes. He is doing social distancing now and staying home and ordering crab legs at home. So
there you go. And then, we could get into a whole thing about professional athletes and social distancing. I'm going to leave it alone.
So I did have, did you see me with the Rise and Shout account? There was some Utah State fan saying that Jordan Love has more upside than any BYU quarterback ever, or Utah quarterback. And I just said, well, you know, there is one BYU quarterback that did get to the NFL Hall of Fame. Does Jordan Love have Hall of Fame upside? So we're a couple weeks out, Matt. I mean, Jordan Love has become like the hot thing. Would you take him in with a top 15 pick?
Nope.
No, I don't see it, man. He looked really good when they had a bunch of weapons that one year. Right? And maybe I'm wrong. He seems like a decent dude, and I wish him well, but I never thought when he played against us that, wow, this guy's, he's a franchise NFL quarterback. Right?
The amount of money, the size of the investment that you're making into a top 15 pick, especially when you go in on a quarterback with a pick like that, the amount that you're investing there, I just don't understand how that investment, the scrutiny that investment would require, would screen Bryce Love. I just don't know how he gets through.
Yeah, and do you
like
mean,
you said, right? He's got a decent portion of one season where he looked like there might be something there.
Well, and he's got
it
I
wasn't
mean, he's
the
got
last
great
season he played.
Measurables, and by the way, it's Jordan Love, not Bryce Love. I don't know who you're talking
whatever
about.
Whatever his flipping name is, but. Does anybody really care? So
a lot of Utah State fans.
I'm sure they do, and two of them listen to this show. Yeah. But I just don't. I just don't see it, and I'm being kind of flippant about it. And I'm sorry, I messed up the name. Maybe I know somebody by that name. I don't know where I come up with that. Is that some other famous person? I don't know.
Bryce Drew.
Yeah, I have no idea. So anyway, I just don't see it for a top 15 pick. No, absolutely not. Now, yeah. Somewhere later in the draft, like a guy that you might take a chance on, that you don't expect to
for sure.
Get him come in and play in the first year or two. Second, has he showed some flashes
round?
For that? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
do I think he's a I don't think he's a camp invite guy. I don't think he's a free agent sign guy. I mean, let's get real here about what teams would really need to be doing with a top 15 pick, and I just don't think he fits the bill. Now, if he does and somebody takes him, somebody's going to be like, oh, well, you were wrong. This team took him. I'm like, well, that team got too cute with the draft, which is my number one complaint with the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only two quarterbacks I'm spending a top 10 pick in this draft, and it's Tua and Burrow. I'm not interested in Herbert. I'm not interested in Jordan Love. Not up there, because I don't think either of them are franchise, have a high enough percentage chance of being a franchise quarterback. And I think anybody that doesn't draft Tua because of his injury history, if he becomes what he can become, you have, you know, pick mobile, strong-armed quarterback in the NFL, right? You have a guy for the next 10 years if he can stay healthy. Right.
But, you know, historically speaking, Burrow and Tua aren't both going to pan out.
Yeah, but there have been – yes.
Right? Yes. There's years where you get two or three in a class, right? Like, that happens.
Nobody's a lock, right, at the quarterback position.
Neither of those guys are locks. And so if you're going to say to yourself that Burrow and Tua aren't even locks, you're going to go spend a top 10, 15 pick on Love?
Or Justin Herbert?
No, I wouldn't spend a 15 pick, top 15.
It's Herbert, not Hebert, right? I don't know.
I would pronounce it Hebert, but that's just the Louisiana coming out.
That's true. All right, so back to the tweet bag. Randy Whittle on Facebook. You can join the conversation at facebook.com/riseandshout. If you are stuck in quarantine for a year, shut up, Randy. That's not nice.
Why are we talking like this? Why would you even say this thing, Randy?
But he says if you're stuck for a year and you only get to watch 5 past BYU games, any sport, which 5 games would you choose and why? Max, do you need time to think about this? Because I've been thinking about it all day.
I can throw a couple out. Do you want to go back and forth a little bit?
Yeah, let's go back and forth. And it's not a draft. We're just talking, right? I would definitely do the game against Miami. In 91?
You didn't do enough thinking. You can't remember the year that it happened.
Yeah. Hey-o! I would do that Miami game. That one was awesome. What do you got?
Now, come on. What do you think the first thing I'm going to pick is?
Cotton Bowl, 1996. Well, technically, January 1st, 1997, right?
That's not the one I was going to pick.
You're going to do A&M from that season?
Yeah, A&M, okay. Dude! Yes!
Well, I don't know. The Cotton Bowl is pretty awesome, too. I mean, they're both great games.
Cotton Bowl is pretty awesome.
Cotton Bowl is pretty awesome. How about the Oklahoma game? What year was that? 2007? Seven? Right?
2007 or 2006? It was 2007.
I think it's 2007.
Yep.
I would pick... I don't know, Jimmer. I'd want a Jimmer game in my 5, but there are so many good ones. The one where he beat San Diego State and beat Kawhi Leonard. Other basketball games I'd be super interested. What's that? I was trying to think who we played. I know where I was. I was in Wisconsin on vacation, and... it was the play-in game. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I was in a hotel room working.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Florida. Florida, I think we played Florida in the next round.
Yeah, I didn't look that one up. That one just popped into my head right now after talking about the Jimmer games.
How about my number 2 choice? You want to hear my number 2 choice?
I'd love to hear your number 2 choice.
I want to get this before you take it from me. So my number 1 choice is the football Texas A&M game. My number 2, though, 1999 Men's Volleyball National Championship versus Long Beach State.
Yeah, that one would be great. Or how about the 2001 National Championship, right? They won in 2001 as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one is also a ton of fun, but the 99 one was cool because it was that first one.
Yeah. No, it's
fantastic. And that team was so good. I mean, they were 30-1. It had all the same pieces, you know, with the Ryan Millar, Ozzie Antonetti, and all those guys. I mean, just
Yeah, I would say the Back to Harleen game would be on my list of five.
Back to Harleen, that's a great one.
I'd like to have that one. I'd probably, yeah, so if my three are a volleyball game, probably your same 99 national championship.
How about the Miracle Bowl, the Holiday Bowl comeback with Jim McMahon?
I was trying to decide, do I want the Miracle Bowl or the 1984 Holiday
Holiday Bowl.
Bowl for the championship, right?
Yeah,
Maybe you
that's
keep
tough.
both of them, and that's my list. I just feel like, oh, that Miracle Bowl. I've watched that. It's got to be the Miracle Bowl.
That's
Anytime
such
it's
a cool
scheduled to
game.
be on, I watch it, right? When they do that bowl stuff. So, anyway, great question, Randy, despite your gloomy introduction to the question.
Way to go, Debbie Downer.
That's right. That's right. So Spencer Linton today tweeted out that the ESPN RPI football ratings are out for next year, and they've predicted the season. And BYU is predicted to end up at a very mediocre 6-6. I had this pulled up, and I must have closed the window. That's exciting for the listeners. So they have us, Matt, according to this ranking, 14% chance of losing, of winning against Utah. So we're going to lose that one. What is that? What's that next one? Man, this print is really small. I'm getting old or something. 60% chance of winning against Michigan State. 28. What's
But
that?
according to some guy responding to a Twitter poll about mascots or something, BYU never wins anything against Michigan State.
Oh.
Did you see that whole string?
Yeah, it's dumb. I
Yeah,
don't
that
even
guy was
want
an idiot.
to. Yeah, people are bored on the internet right now.
So bored.
Lose to Arizona State, lose at Minnesota, only 15% chance. 73% chance we beat Utah State, according to this. Basically a 50-50 chance in Missouri, but we're on the top end of that. Lose to Houston, 40%. Beat Northern Illinois, nearly 60%. Lose to Boise State, 24%. Beat San Diego State. What is that? Is that 97? No, that's 57.
I
Man,
would believe either of those numbers.
I need glasses, apparently.
Are you gonna have to get little reader cheaters?
No, it's just
You should get the kind that like
it's a long
connect in the
day.
middle, so you can pull them apart,
Totally should get
get
those.
them up and down faster. That's what you
Destroy
need.
Northern Alabama and then lose at Stanford. So has this at 6-6 with basically, as you're looking at this, only one gimme the entire season, which is the North Alabama game. So Matt, you nervous yet with this? You nervous? Does it make you
I was
nervous?
already
I
nervous.
know you are already nervous. Okay, so I tweeted that out and said, "Hey, how does everybody feel about a 6-6 season?" Here's some of the responses. At BYU Insider on Twitter, and of course you want to tweet at us. It's at BYU underscore right shot. He says, "Sounds like a Kalani coached football team. He will have a 500 record his entire tenure." Okay, it's a little rough. How do you
Womp
feel about that
womp.
one? Spiff Coog at Spiff Coog says, "I'm not convinced we can do that with the current coaching staff." That doesn't make
He's
sense to
not
me.
convinced that we can even win six games.
We've already won six games against a tough schedule before.
Okay.
We can. People are way down on this coaching
Wow,
staff.
people
I
are like
totally
really
get.
down in the dumps right
I
now.
get why they're down on the coaching staff. I think they're just too far down. Now, would you like a ray of sunshine or kind of? Thomas
Sure.
Orok, that's
A little
at.
break in the clouds.
He says better than 0-0 with a emoji for prayer.
That's not uplifting at all. That was like really a downer.
Well, it's better. He's just saying, like, I'd rather have that 6-6 season than not play a season, right?
Jeez.
Man, see, you should have taken that as a positive. It was a positive. All right,
It wasn't a
sounds like.
positive. This guy thinks we're not going to play any football this year. I don't want to think
That's not
about
what he
that yet.
said. That's not what he said.
Oh,
I'm
jeez.
gonna open this up. I'm gonna need it. So Justin Sweeney had a response.
Sweeney.
So at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter, he said, "Honestly, given the schedule, If one of those wins was the University of Utah and we win our bowl game that year, so you'd be 7-6, it isn't a bad year. Obviously, I hope for more and think we can do better, but next year is brutal. So, Matt, change that up a little bit. We lose to one of the other teams. You beat Utah to open the season. You win your bowl game. You're 7-6. That sounds like a much better season.
Against this schedule? Yeah.
Yeah. Not Guys, a great season, but a better season.
No, not a great season, but it's a better season, and this is a really tough schedule.
So if you liked the canceling the season thing, you're going to love Sweeney's second question.
Great. Bring it on, Justin.
Odds we don't have football at all. If we do, does it start at current opening week? If so, are there fans in the stands or just TV? If week one game versus the U gets postponed, is that a plus or minus? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag quarantined bag. By the way, we're not under quarantine. Like, is this me being word Nazi? But
I'm not under quarantine. You're not under quarantine, but the country, I don't know if Sweeney under quarantine. Is.
Well, he's not under quarantine. Everyone's using the word, they're using it incorrectly. We're not under quarantine, unless you have been sick and someone has told you to stay in your house. That's a quarantine.
Correct. Correct.
You are under, like, a social isolation order or just staying at your house.
Social distancing,
stay at home, whatever. But you're not under quarantine, so stop using the word. Sorry, Sweeney. I mean, he's an attorney.
No,
you should know.
For a country...
You should know that stuff.
Yeah, he's an attorney, right? But yeah, for a country that is super obsessed with things going viral, we have a really poor understanding of how that works.
That's good. That's good. Have you been practicing that one?
Oh, I've been saying that in my head for weeks.
Yeah, sweet. You got a chance.
Okay. And what's funny is that people will draw all sorts of like conclusions about what I mean by that, and none of them will be true. I think it's just a funny thing to say. I just thought it was a funny little thing to say.
All right, so odds are we don't have football at all. It's above zero, but I don't know how high it is.
I think the odds that we have some sort of modified or delayed football season, I think that's maybe even a likely scenario, just because the time at which teams are going to be allowed to start having activity, and the idea that you don't, with a sport like football, you've got to have a few weeks of conditioning and getting people up to speed before you start going full speed for games. Like, people are going to get hurt, right?
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah. So I think that a scenario where the season is truncated in some fashion is something we need to maybe wrap our heads around.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing at all. Like, how do you know how disappointed I was when the XFL finally came out and said they're not going to play in 2020?
I'm like, what? I filed for bankruptcy, man.
Oh, it's the worst.
It was the worst. I thought they had something. I don't know if they would have survived because no other professional league has survived over the past, you know, half a century. But I was really hoping they could last a while.
It's disappointing, mostly because
it's possible to come out of bankruptcy, but
I bought a lot of gear.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It'll be a keeper. It'll be a keeper. No, it won't. No one will know what it is. So if they don't start that opening week, say they push it back, they're not rescheduling the Utah game. Okay. That would be not a postponement. That would be a cancellation. BYU, will any of those games at the beginning of the schedule, I feel like, are likely cancellations. I don't know every team's schedule on there. I think any game through that end of September, if they decide, hey, we're going to start that weekend of the first week in October is going to be the start, we're going to hack off a month, you start your openers Utah State, right? And again, I have no idea. It may be just 1 or 2 weeks. What do you think about doing games without anybody in the stand?
It's eerie. Remember when they did a baseball game in Baltimore like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
It's better than not having a game to watch at all, but I think it'd be weird to play in. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be weird. All right, Tanner Plummer has a completely unrelated COVID-19 unrelated question. Thank you, Tanner, on All Facebook. Right. Will BYU ever make a New Year's Six Bowl, or as I frequently call them, a New York Six Bowl? You remember that? I think it was Jeff Johnston was like, dude, you keep saying that. That's not what it is. I know it's NY Bowl, NY Sex, but that stands for New Year's, not New York, you dummy. Yes, that's true. Though Jeff actually, of course, being Jeff, said it very nicely on Twitter. He didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's great. That's great. You dummy.
You dummy. That's what I would have said because I'm not as nice as him. Matt,
that's a great word.
Dummy? Yeah. Well, I got called a stupid dad tonight by my 3-year-old. That was awesome. After he kicked me in the face during bedtime.
You say stupid in our house, one of my children will police that.
Well, his older sister did. The 5-year-old was like, you can't say that. But I mean, after he kicked me in the face, I kind of feel like, you know, is that somehow him saying calling me stupid dad worse than a absolute total kick?
He called you stupid and kicked you in the face?
He kicked me in the face because I was trying to put him to bed. And then after I pulled back and I said, you can't do that. And he goes, yes, I can, stupid dad. And I'm wow. This is great.
He's really coming into his own, isn't he? That a boy.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so New Year's Six Bowl. Does BYU ever make one, Matt?
No. By the time we get there, if it ever happens, the construct will be different, and we'll be calling them something else.
The only chance is if the Big 12 adds BYU in the next 5 years.
And I believe that at the same time that around that happens is you're going to see expanded playoff, and they're going to change.
Good point.
They're going to tell the rules system. Bowl, yep. Stick it, and they're just going to figure out the right way to do it.
All right. Last tweet bag question before we get to our big why comes from Darwin Lyons again.
So wait a minute. Darwin's making two appearances on the show tonight?
He is. That is correct. One on Facebook. So, this one's Facebook before it was an email question.
When did he send these? Did he send these today?
I believe both are times. Well, the Facebook one is definitely timestamped today. Yes. The email 11:44 a.m. this morning.
That's very interesting because I'm just going to take a minute and throw this out there. Darwin, you should probably I realize it was yesterday, but instead of sending all these questions into the podcast, you should have been focusing on celebrating your 31st wedding anniversary yesterday. So Darwin and Andrew have been married 31 years.
Congratulations. To the both. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Wonderful people.
Yeah.
So Darwin, like you should like let's focus on one thing at a time here.
All right, fine. He has also a professional sports related question for us. Not actually, this one's college. He says, I just was looking down and see all these pro players.
Are we
players.
Talking about USC? Like some of these college teams technically are professional.
Actually, the UNLV one.
I guess we'll wait to
was.
See who we're talking about.
The UNLV one. So this is basketball, all time great basketball teams. He lists Syracuse with Chris Mullins, Duke with Bobby Hurley, Georgetown with Patrick Ewing, Houston with Akeem, Clyde the Glide, and Dave Rose.
He left that one out.
Yeah, North Carolina with MJ, UNLV with Grandmama, Stacey Ogman and Greg, Michigan with the Fab Five. Where do these teams rank in your greatest of all time for college basketball? Gosh, you know, the UCLA teams also in the late 90s, Ed O'Bannon, remember those teams were quite good. Kentucky's had a few teams recently that were probably worthy of that discussion. I don't know. All of the teams he's listed are amazing. I don't remember Chris Mullins in college. I definitely remember the Bobby Hurley Duke teams.
Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner, like...
Well, and that UNLV team was, besides everyone getting paid, they were an amazing team.
They were phenomenal.
I mean, just really, really good team. Obviously, Kansas and has had some good teams over the years that could probably be on this list. You know, we're going to talk about the BYU teams here in a minute, some of the best ones. But man, he's got a good list. This is a good starting list. I'd really have to think about it more about what my greatest team ever was.
Yeah, I'd go somewhere probably. If I had to pick three off of his list, I'd go with Duke, Houston and Michigan. And Michigan, I've been there, and he references this in his comment because of the, I mean, they really changed. They changed a lot of things about college basketball.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them on my list of the best, but they certainly were culturally significant, and it affected me personally.
Yep.
You know, because the long shorts came in when I was in high school, and our high school team had just bought short shorts right before that change. And
that's awesome.
Our high school only got new uniforms every 4 or 5 years, so the rest of everyone else in our league, except for us and Hull, had short shorts, and everybody else had long shorts. And then I did that thing where I wore the bike shorts under my short shorts, which I actually think, yeah, it was a thing, and I think it actually looks worse than the short shirts.
And I don't know.
The girls' team got long shorts. It's just crazy. It changed overnight. So Darwin's got a good, I mean, it was a cultural phenomenon. It's harder if you didn't live through it. There hasn't been anything in college basketball since then that's been an equivalent to the Fab Five, like culturally.
No, right? I can't think of anything. Yeah.
I mean,
even if you think about college sports overall, right, there's a handful of teams that have that type of cultural impact. You know, some of those Miami teams of the early 90s, late 80s, right? That stage, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, maybe those really good SMU teams before they got the death penalty. And
I would say Saban's recent Alabama teams have been pretty, maybe not in the same way, but I think it's been that. I mean, but it was just overnight, man. It's just all of a sudden it went from everyone wore short shorts to everyone wore long shorts. You know, and I'm exaggerating because obviously there were some NBA players like Stockton that held on to the short shorts until he retired. Right?
He sure did.
But, you know, Malone didn't. He switched, right? Like a lot of the guys switched, and it became this thing. And now, of course, the shorts are getting shorter again.
We wear short shorts.
That's right. That's right. All right. So let's do our big why, which is we've got a tournament, because it's a verb, of the all-time great basketball teams for BYU, similar to what we did several weeks ago for the all-time great football teams. This is of the modern era, which basically starts, like everything, when Lavelle became football coach, but we're doing it for basketball, too, in the same time period. So no Kresimir, Kosic, or 1950s great BYU basketball teams. All right, so just starting from mid-70s onward. And we're going to predict. We're going to, like we did before, this is a head-to-head matchup in a single elimination tournament. Who's going to win? Not legacy or the guys that made the pros or any of that stuff. This is head-to-head. You put them on the basketball court, who wins? Are you ready?
All right. The instructions are clear.
Yeah. See, I can explain things sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I don't like your attitude right now. I'm going to explain that I don't like your attitude. See?
You made that very clear.
Very clear. I don't like your attitude. All right. So the number one overall seed, according to sportsreference.com, because again, I did not see these, was the 2009... 2010 BYU Cougars, who of course made it to, now this, a lot of people are going to argue with this as the number one seed. I would as well. I thought they've got the wrong team here, but their ratings have this team a little bit higher than another team we're going to talk about the next year. So this was the 2009-10 Cougars, led by Dave Rose, and obviously a guy you might have heard of named Jimmer Fredette. You might have heard the
rings
of
the bell.
They play the 2014-15 Cougars, and that's an interesting group. This is the last Dave Rose team to make it into the NCAA tournament. 25-10, and led, of course, by Tyler Hawes and Kyle Collinsworth. Who you got in this matchup, Matt?
You know what? This is a close one. I'm surprised that it feels this close in my head. Maybe it is this seeding that people will argue about. But I'm going to take the 14-15 Cougs here.
What? I had already typed in the other answer because I thought, why would you pick that? Okay. All right. Cool. I mean, it is a good team.
If you gave me the 10-11 team against this 14-15 team, that one isn't difficult for me. But there's enough of a difference between those two teams in those 2 years. I think I'm taking 10-11.
Yeah, so that 14-15 team was an elite offensive team, right? You had Kyle Collinsworth at a high level, Tyler Haws at a high level offensively, not to mention Fisher and Winder. And they were not a great defensive team, not terrible or anything, but not great. That 09-10 team, that's why I would pick them. They were the equal in offense, and they were a way better defensive team. I just have two words for you, Jackson Emery. Tyler Haws does not get a clean shot off the entire game with Jackson Emery. To me, this one is a 10-15 point win for the 09 team. But you already made your choice, so you can't go back. All right. The other matchup in this bracket is 87-88 team versus the 78-79 team.
It's 87-88 versus 79-80.
What did I just say?
Where are you? Where are you in the bracket?
We're in the top of the bracket. 87-88,
79-90.
We're 79-80. Isn't that what I just said? No. Did I say something different?
Dude, the second time you said 79-90, which isn't the thing. The first time you said 78-79.
That is totally
79-90? Right. What is this, like an all-time team?
87-88, you knucklehead, versus 79-80.
You dummy?
You dummy? You're dumb as a sack of rocks. All right.
This guy's really dumb.
So 87-88, 26-6 regular season. They were a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, but lost in the second round to Louisville. And then the 79 team was 24-5. They were a 3rd seed in the NCAA tournament and lost in the second round to Clemson. So both of these teams may be disappointed a little bit in the tournament, which was kind of a BYU thing for quite a long time. Who you got in this matchup? A really good matchup, by the way. I think this one you could go either way.
Yeah, this is a very evenly set up matchup, I think. And if you just listen to the way you laid out their results and their accomplishments, I mean, they sound very similar inside the context of the years that they played. You could probably argue this one either way. So I'm taking 87-88 by a nose.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're totally different. So you're taking 1987-88. I'm going to go with the 79-80 team with that Devin Durant. Do I have to call him Elder Devin Durant? I don't think I do, right?
Well, you're referencing him as a player, yeah, so this is before that.
I'm going to go with Devin Durant and Danny Ainge and Fred Roberts. I think this would be an amazing game, and I could see it going either way. So I like that one. All right. So staying on that side of the bracket, our next number one seed is the 1980-81 team. So just go fast forward 1 year versus the team we were just talking about, and they are versus the 07-08 team. All right, Matt, who do you like in this matchup?
See, what's interesting here is that I'm going to look at this one a little bit differently maybe than the one we were looking at a second ago. That 07-08 team is very good. I will give you that. But here, I'm actually going with the Ainge-led team. I think they would come out on
top. So that 07-08 team, obviously, Lee Cummard, Playstead, Tavenari, great top, and then you had a young Jemmer Fredette on that squad. That 80 team, though, 80-81 team, you had Danny Ainge at obviously the peak of his powers, one of the best seasons any BYU player has ever had. Fred Roberts was amazing. We talked about this before. Greg Kite, Trumbo. I mean, they were pretty loaded. I think it's a good game, but I'm with you. I'm taking the 80-81 team.
Yeah, I just think that 07-08 team would have a hard time containing that. Yeah. Containing Danny Ainge.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see anybody on that roster that guards Ainge. Actually, Notre Dame would love if anybody would come guard him too. Still, at least on that one last play. And obviously, you know, we're not judging on where they made it in the tournament, but you know, the 07-08 team lost in the first round, and obviously that Danny Ainge-led team made a big run. So on that side of the bracket, we also have the 14-15 squad versus the 03-04 team. What are your thoughts on this one? It's an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, this is a good matchup, and I'm probably guilty of recency bias on this one.
Of course you are.
But, you know, I look at that 14-15 squad, and, you know, there are some players on there that, you know, like a Kyle Collinsworth, a Tyler Haas. And I just think that when I go back to 03-04.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a dummy. I put the 14-15 team in twice. Nobody pointed that out on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Here I am talking about them a second time.
It's supposed to be somebody else.
We'll fix it on the fly. What do you got?
14-15. They are a 2-seed. They should be in here. So you got to go pick that. You got to go pick the 09-10 team because they're supposed to be playing like the 78-79 team or somebody that's not very good.
Okay, that's fine. So, but who am I right now?
It's 03-04 and 14-15. We're talking about the right matchup. I had the wrong people in that first matchup.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So go ahead.
Move 2009 up. All right. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. So when I look at the 2014-15 against the 2003-04 squad, that 2003-2004 squad has some players on it that I personally really enjoyed watching. You know, Rafael Araujo, Bigelow, Mike Hall. Mike Hall was a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But I when I think about that team historically, I don't know how good they are in the context of like history. And I think about putting them up against a team with Kyle Collinsworth and Tyler Haas and some of these other guys. That are, you know, kind of all-time greats there. I just think they would have a hard time coming out on top there. So I think I have to take 14-15 in that match.
Yeah,
but Hall was like a highlight reel. I loved watching that guy. And maybe I just feel that way because he was there while I was there. But man, that 14-15 team would be hard to contain.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you. It's supposed to be the 13-14 team that was in the one bracket.
Oh, yeah, I would take 9-10 over that.
Yeah,
so weird.
Yeah, because I was like, as we were doing it, I'm like, wow, how did they get seated all the way down there? They didn't. They didn't get seated all the way down there. Okay, so I totally agree with you, 14-15 over there. So let's swap over to the other side of the bracket where we've got a top seed in the 2010-2011 Cougars versus the 94-95 Cougars. Matt, I think this one's a pretty easy one to pick.
Yeah. Are we even talking about this?
Well, let's talk about the 94-95 team for a second, because we're not going to talk about them anymore. They were an 8th seed in the tournament, 22-10. Larson was the big player. Larson and Ken Roberts, Robbie Reed, Randy Reed, both on the team as youngins. There were some good players on this team, but no, they get absolutely destroyed by Jimmer at the height of his powers, right?
Yes.
Brandon Davy. I mean, they get destroyed. So yeah, this one's pretty easy. All right, so I'm putting us both going forward. So the 2-3 matchup in this side of the bracket is, I think, way more interesting. That's 91-92 versus 15-16. So, Matt, any thoughts on 91-92 versus 15-16? Now, the 15-16 team did not make the NCAA tournament, but the computers like them.
I like the 15-16 team.
You would. I don't know what that means. So 20, the 15-16 team obviously was, you know, Fisher, Nick Emery, Collinsworth. What are Collinsworth's stats that year? He had that, you know, almost a triple-double year, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 7.5 assists a game, like insane stats. 91-92 team obviously was a very different group. Trost, who else was on that team? Pulling it up now. Kevin
Kevin
Nixon.
Nixon.
Yeah, I actually, I don't know if
I
I
mean,
don't like the
there's some good players
15-16
here, but
team better.
there's some good players here, but I for me that early 90s stretch of basketball there with some of these teams, like
They
I just
made
have a
the
hard time getting
tournament.
excited. Yeah, but I just have a hard time getting excited about them. But when I look at that list, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad team because it is. It's a good team. They deserve to be in this discussion of teams that are working through this bracket. But I have a hard time. I'd be hard pressed to take them over that 2015-2016
So
team.
you're gonna go 15-16 as well.
Yeah, I
I
think I
might do
have
that.
to, but I'm like super recency biased here.
Yeah,
I
it feels like
understand that.
recency bias. Feels like recency bias. But we'll get to recency bias right now, Matt.
And it might just be the way I feel about Roger Reed, but that's where I am. That's where I'm at.
So guess who the computers loved and seeded as a one of our four number one seeds?
I love this.
The 2019-2020 Cougars. And so this is kind of fun because we get to put them into an actual tournament. And do I have the 79-80 team
Yeah,
twice
I
as
was about to
well?
tell you have 7980 in here twice.
No, I don't. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do.
How
We
did I
talked
do
about them
that?
top left.
Now, top left is supposed to be 78, 78, 79.
Which is why you said that when you first introduced it, and then I made
Yeah,
you
I
do it.
just transcribed it wrong. I've got it right in the spreadsheet and wrong on the bracket. Gosh, I was
All
so
right.
put together last time. No mistakes on the basketball on the football bracket. All right. So
Not your best night. Not your best night.
the 79-80 team that neither of us had going anywhere, so it doesn't matter in the other bracket. We both had the eight. No, I did.
We both.
I
I took
did.
87.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with the 87 team as well over the one that
Sure.
I actually had. Okay, this is a disaster. All right, so 29, 2019,
Nobody has
20.
any clue what we're talking about anymore, and nobody can remember their locker combination any longer.
That's
So
right.
the numbers we're throwing out right now make absolutely no sense. But let's keep talking some
The
hoops.
1920 team, this year's team.
I see funny.
Yeah, the
There
19.
was no. Did we have a team in
No,
1920? What is
19,
this
20,
list?
19 and 20, dude. Like you would say 87, 88, 1920. Not the year 1920,
The
pinhead.
1920 team, coached by Alvin Twitchell,
You
they were
big
10-2
dummy.
and tied for second in the conference. I don't know. It sounds like a pretty good squad.
Okay, the 2019-2020 team versus the 1979-80 team. I like the current team in
I
that one.
actually, are you serious? Danny Ainge, Greg Kite? That 79 team? No, Danny Ainge, Devin Durant, Fred Roberts,
Yeah, we
Greg
just
Kite.
talked about this team and how good they are.
There are not four NBA players on the
It doesn't.
1920
Whoa,
team.
whoa, whoa, whoa. We are not talking about NBA success.
No.
It's
I'm not talking
not
about
the.
NBA success. I'm just using it as a measure of quality of players. That 79-80 team had four guys that were good enough. That's
And
where
they were
their
number
that's where
three
their
seed in
skills
the
took.
West.
That was a
All right.
good
You're
team.
right. You're right. It's
And
79-80
don't
team.
get me wrong, the 2019-2020 team was a ton of fun to watch, and I think they would have made a deep run. I think they could have won two or three games in the tournament,
The
maybe.
computers love them, by the way, and rated them higher than that 79-80 team, but
And
the
Yoli
computers love them.
Childs, and 40 years from now, people could be talking about Yoli Childs the way we talk about Danny Ainge today. That's a fact.
Well,
That
his
is a thing.
season was. It's really sad that number one, the NCAA cut off the first part of it because he doesn't count, quote, on the average stats, right? Because he didn't qualify, didn't play enough games between that and the injury, and that the tournament cut off, so he won't be. because of that, right? The Danny Ainge stuff, because Danny Ainge also had that cool tournament run. But he should be, right, because it's one of the greatest seasons in BYU's sports history. I don't know if people really appreciate the fact that he was probably as good this year as Jimmer was his senior year. Now, he didn't score at the same volume, but you add in his defense and his rebounding, and their total value is pretty darn close per game, right? It was an amazing season. So
yeah, but I think the advantage that the 2019-2020 team might have here is experience. You know, you look at the squad in 79-80. Greg Kite's just a freshman, and you know he's the big guy.
Greg Kite is a freshman, does not stop Yoli Childs as a senior.
No. Well, and if you look at his stats, if you look at Kite's freshman stats, he wasn't really a factor that year, right?
No.
But if you look at just Ainge, Durant, and Roberts, that's a pretty powerful set of three players there. And so, does that team have the size and the wherewithal to slow down the 2019-2020 offense and force some points? I still think that they do.
Well,
this would be a great game to watch.
Here's the thing. Older
team's just more talented.
Give Danny Ainge the three-point line, right, which he did not have.
It's lights out now.
So I think that's part of the reasons the computers get screwed up a little bit with old teams and new teams, because the new teams are way more efficient offensively because they can score at a higher rate with the three-point line. All right, so we're both agreed on the 79-80. Let's see if I made any more mistakes. The 2008-09 team versus the 92-93 team. Let's see here. 2007-2008, they lost in the first round, which was kind of a thing. Number 8 seed, that was Cummard, Playstead, another one of those teams with some of those guys again. And then what do you think about that team? That team's pretty loaded. Young Jimmer. How do you like that 07-08 team?
That 07-08 team.
I mean, 08-09.
Is it 07-08 or 08-09?
08-09. Sorry, I was on the wrong year.
Yeah, so 08-09 had some players that were also a ton of fun to watch. You talked about Jackson Emery earlier. One of the all-time great defensive players.
Yeah. I forget. Sometimes you forget how good Cummard was, right? Like offensively. Sometimes I forget about him. And obviously for Fredette just coming into his own.
Yeah, I mean, there's some. This one is actually kind of tough for me. I don't.
That 92-93 team's a really good team.
They are a really good team. They're not like a star-studded team, but if you look back at kind of how they performed, right? What did they do? Second round in the tournament. Took a share of the conference championship. 25 wins. That's tough. You know what I'm going to do here, because I've been so recency biased on these others. I think you could argue that you're really splitting hairs between these two, but I'm going to take the 92-93 team.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that 08-09 team, I think that was a little bit early for some of the great players on that squad, between Emery, Fredette, and Abuyo. I think it was just a little bit early for those guys. They were just still a little green.
Okay. I like that. Let's stay on that side of the bracket, and we're going to both go with the 92-93 team. Let's stay on that side of the bracket. And let's just start work our way back up. So you've got that 92-93 team versus the 79-80 team. I don't think it's a particularly close game to you.
No, the 79-80 team just destroys them.
Yeah, I think the 79-80 team... Man, we're Danny Ainge is on a potential collision course with himself.
That's crazy.
That's
weird.
You
just said it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So on that same side of the bracket, you got 2010-11 versus 2015-16 for both of us. That's easy, right?
Yeah, I think that one's an easy one too.
All right. So the other side of the bracket is, I think, where it gets a little harder. So you've got the 09... 10 team versus the 87-88 team. I don't know.
Yeah, that one's hard. I'm just, what do you got? This is Jimmer's junior year.
Yeah, this is Jimmis Jr., a good team, seventh seed in the West, 30 wins. But that 87-88 team with Michael Smith and Chapman, Marty Hawes, you're talking about a team that was the fourth seed in the tournament, won the WAC. I think I'm going with the 87-88 team.
Yeah, I mean, look at that roster. I mean, this is actually a good game. This would be a good game to watch. But I think you're right. I think that 87-88 team, you know, with Michael Smith probably comes out on top here.
Yeah. And then the other matchup on that side of the bracket is 80-81 versus 14-15. I don't think it's particularly close in that one either.
So you're taking 80-81 here?
Yeah, I think so. Nothing against that 14-15 team, but I just don't understand how they compete with the firepower. I mean, you're giving Danny Ainge the best season, arguably the best season a BYU player has ever had, right, in that year. You're giving it, and you're giving him the three-point line. And all those stats were without a three-point line, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, what kind of numbers does he put up with the three-point line back then? And people just forget how good of an athlete he was, right? Like, because I've heard people say, well, he couldn't do that nowadays or whatever. The guy played baseball, right, and had a long NBA career. You know, didn't become a Hall of Famer in the NBA, but had a really good career. He was amazing. All right, so now you got the 87-88 team versus the 80-81 team for a chance in the championship. I think this would be an amazing game. Michael Smith scoring at a high level and playing maybe not a lot of defense. If only him and Jimmer could play, but they don't in this particular bracket. I'm gonna go with on that side of bracket 80-81 for into the championship.
Yeah, so am I. Danny Ainge takes it coast to coast here.
And I think we're both looking at on the other side. It's the 2010-2011 team on that side beating the 79-80 team.
You think they beat the 79-80 team? I struggle with this one a little bit.
Oh, I think it'd be a really close game. It's not as a cinch to me, but I think you're at a point.
Jimmer is a senior here.
Brandon Davies. And we have to clarify here, Brandon Davies plays. Okay? He is not, he plays in these games. He's not suspended for any.
Yeah, this one is a pretty compelling matchup. But if I just looking at these rosters back and forth, I think you're right. I think you got to take the 2010-2011 team.
Yeah. I think you do. And so then you have the finals of the 2010-2011 team versus 80-81. What are you thinking?
Now, this is fun, right? Like, this is, I feel like this is the collision course we were
Jimmer
hoping would
versus
happen. You got Jimmer in his prime. You know, one of the best seasons in BYU basketball history against Danny Ainge in his prime with one of the best seasons in basketball history. And as you've repeated roughly 4,000 times, we're going to have the 3-point line in this contest, which you're right. I think that does yield some additional points for Danny Ainge, but it's also going to change the way that he's defended. And
for sure,
this 2010-2011 team was very good defensively. You know, we can talk about Jackson Emery a lot, but I think there were some other contributors there as well. So, you know, Kyle Collinsworth is still a bit young, but Jimmer Fredette was so good that year. You know what? I'm going with 2010-2011 in a close matchup.
I think it's a close matchup. It seems like recency bias, but I think I'm going to do that too. A couple things to consider in the matchup, okay? Who's going to guard Fred Roberts? Right, on that 2010-2011 team. Brandon Davies was a foul out waiting to happen, right? And he averaged that year 3.1 personal fouls per game, right? I don't know how many games, but he was in foul trouble a lot. I just struggle after that. Hartsock, I don't think, could have guarded. I had the length. I just don't know that you had anybody that could slow down. So if you think that offensively, Ainge and Jimmer kind of cancel each other out. It comes down to me, like, where's that next level? Now, here's the thing that may mean they don't cancel each other out is the X factor is Jackson Emery. Can he slow Ainge down more than they can slow Jimmer down? Right? And that really probably is your argument in favor of that 2010-2011 team. Is that Jackson Emery can give Ainge a little problems. Now, to be fair, Emery is 6'3". What was Ainge? 6'6"?
I just add that up. What are they? Ainge is 6'4".
So I, in my head, he was taller than that. So I guess his length wouldn't give Emery problems. Emery guarded guys that were 6'6", and did so effectively. So if Ainge isn't even that tall, so I'm going to go with the 2010-2011 team as well. I think it would be an incredibly close game. Right. That would be a lot of fun to simulate that one. And obviously, like I've said 8 times, the 3-point line would be, it'd be fun to see Ainge popping back there and doing that. I mean, think about how much basketball's changed since 80-81 in college.
I mean, yeah, and not just the length of the shorts.
Has changed. The length of the shorts has changed. The 3-point line has changed multiple times, right?
That brief stint where the NBA tried to introduce short sleeve shirts for jerseys.
That was
a lot
awesome.
Of stuff has changed.
That was an awesome innovation. Or when the Australian women's basketball team had a one piece.
That's just a thing that people still do, I think, in parts of the world. That's an abomination.
I believe that's true. I'd like to see the NBA try that for a while.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Good luck.
So, Matt, this was fun. Besides my being a total ninny with the.
No, you got to stick with the phrase tonight. The phrase is dummy.
Yeah, total dummy. Sorry about that. For folks, if that was confusing, but maybe that's just hilarious. I don't know. Everyone's like, yeah, Adam's a dummy. We knew that already. So anyway.
The funny thing is I went through and looked at this bracket and didn't even pick
nobody on Twitter. Like, I had a bunch of people, like, retweet it and like it. And I'm like, nobody noticed that I had the same team in there twice. Right? I guess I should have been more careful in my transposing of the data yesterday. So anyway. Well, Matt, that's a show. That's a wrap. People wanted one. They were annoyed that we didn't have one last week, and now they got one. So,
oh, they sure did. There you go. You asked for it. It's your fault.
There you have it. Next week, what should we? Should it be our NFL draft preview? Since there's going to be an actual sport thing, that's not.
I just don't even
playing
know
video sports.
I don't know what to think about the draft. Who's going to boo Roger Goodell?
We will.
He's going to make.
Rooms.
He's going to have a family member boo him.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be awesome. His wife's in the background. Sit down, Goodell.
If I were him, I would say, like, I would have somebody boo.
Do you think he has a good
There's
enough sense of humor to do
that? In
that
basement. I think he kind of smirks every time he gets up there and gets booed.
Yeah, but that's not a sense of humor. That's not the same as thinking, yeah, I'm going to have somebody boo me in my house, right? Like, that's a different level, which, by the way, if he did that, I would go from not liking him to, like, not liking him, but more.
My level of respect would increase for the man if he
yes.
did.
Yes, yeah, there you go. That's a better way to put it.
But I don't think that he will.
I don't think that he will. Do you buy the GMs? We can talk about this next week. Yeah, let's just talk about all the draft stuff next week. We don't need to keep talking
right.
about it now.
Yeah, let's do it. That's right. Right. Hey, one show at a time, baby.
Yeah, that's right. We'll talk about Dion Gamwalaku and Austin Lee and whether we think they get drafted. Right? Stuff like
there
that.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. If you'd like to support this show, you can always go to patreon.com/riseandshout to become a supporter. We hope you are safe and well during this weird time, and we will catch you next week.
Go Cougars.